Jerry Bader Show 936. Yeah, it's just an accusation, but I have no reason to doubt her story. But it is alleged that a Sheboygan bride's husband beat her on their wedding night. And assuming she's telling the truth, and that's for purposes of this conversation, assuming she's telling the truth, I'm asking, why do women stay in these relationships? They were together 4 years. She told police he's been violent to her repeatedly in the past. If that's true, then why did you marry him? I want to share an email from a female listener. Society glorifies the beautiful people. My first question would be if this woman is not societally beautiful. If so, then society gives the ugly, fat, too skinny, too dark, too light, too smart, or too dumb the impression that we must settle for what we can get. This is particularly true if you're fat, she writes. I know because I am. You are subtly taught by example and verbal confirmation that any attention given to you, you should be grateful for, because you don't deserve any. It's not right, but it's true. I will tell you that there are beautiful women that stay in these relationships. I have been aware of several of them in my lifetime. 40-some years ago, I mean, this was one of the elements that started the modern feminist movement, and it was valid. You shouldn't have to stay in a relationship where somebody physically beats you. Yet there was a stigma against divorce in women leaving those situations. You were seen as a failure. You must have deserved it. And all of these other ridiculous stigmas that came with it. And then there was the economic reality. Until the 70s, 60s, and 70s, women weren't really in the workforce all that much. And there was the economic, the proverbial golden handcuffs. Most of that has been lifted. Yet, you know, we've heard from several law enforcement officers and others who say that women still are psychologically bound. Another female listener writes, I know what you're saying about the bride. I don't think she was thinking he was going to change. I think, like the caller said, it's a psychological thing. And in these kinds of things, I think they become very afraid to leave. You don't know if he threatened to kill her or something if she tried to leave him. That's probably true. It is sad, though, that in today's society, we haven't made the progress where women just simply say, no, it's wrong. And I'm gonna be honest, I think some of the emailers are right about the self-esteem issue. Well, for whatever reason, I have this low belief system of myself, and I got to take what I can get. I think that's tragic that that exists. Clearly, though, it does. Nolan in Wisconsin Rapids. Nolan, go ahead.
Jerry, I've worked in the domestic violence field for over 10 years now, and I guess it would affirm what the former law enforcement officers have said. While some of those barriers to leaving no longer apply, you know, there are significant economic and social ones. And unfortunately, some of the beliefs that we thought had been successfully challenged during the beginning of the women's movement, I'm afraid continue to keep women in relationships. So I am surprised to hear some some of those things that we thought would have passed away coming out of men's mouths. So I bring home the, I got the bigger paycheck, so she should have... she should have known better. She knew what she was getting. And so there's still a lot of work to be done. We understand that it takes the average woman in an abusive relationship 7 to 9 times of leaving before she actually accomplishes that. And as you said, women in abusive relationships come from all walks of life, as do the men who batter them.
And by the way, it knows no economic strata either.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's another myth. The that it's often income driven is there are a lot of stigmas and myths that come with this. So Nolan. Playing on your professional experience, you said we've got a lot of work to do. How do we ever move the needle on this?
Quite frankly, men are responsible for the vast majority of this. I believe it's challenging men's beliefs about entitlement and what it means to be a responsible, respectful partner. And unfortunately, as a previous caller hypothesized about this situation, perhaps this woman had no no role models for that growing up, and the chances are also good that and I've seen this before, where the mother-in-law or mother-in-law figure is the one who comes to the rescue, because the abuser's father or stepfather had been doing the same thing for years.
So. Well, let me throw the reverse of that at you, Nolan. Now, my daughters, I have two daughters who are now adult age. They were raised in a household where, I'm telling you, they could never imagine, Nolan, me laying a finger on their mother. I mean, it is beyond their comprehension that I would ever get physically violent with her. So women raised in that environment, the first time a guy hits her, and again, I'm not judging, but logic would seem to dictate there should be a freakout moment. Hey, damn it, that's wrong.
And you're absolutely right, and those are the women who have, as one of our advocates terms it, more personal resources available to them. They seek the services. I'm not living like this, and how do I extricate myself from this? We provide services for a very short period of time. Perhaps they might remain in touch or attend a support group, but they don't need anything more. It's those women who have grown up with abuse as a sense of normal, like the overheard conversation, the low expectations from men that men have of themselves, and unfortunately many women do. Sometimes it's this guy doesn't look as violent as the one before, or his abuse is not hands-on, and that can be even harder to get out of.
Nolan, I got to let you run, but I really do appreciate your professional input. I can't remember if it was Nolan that said, men's beliefs have to change. Yeah, an emailer just, I think, made a really good point. Women's beliefs have to change. And I'm not judging, but what I'm saying is we have to get to a point where the first time a guy hits you has to be the last time. It has to be. I'm going to read Betsy's email. With self-respect, a person doesn't allow things like abuse to happen. When people have low self-worth, the cycle repeats and the abuse escalates until death or the person finds self-worth. The perpetrators will always look for a victim. They are methodically grooming their victims one small step at a time. By the time a victim senses that, they fear it's too late. While everyone else can see it as clear as day, both the victim and the perpetrator are locked in the vicious cycle until one of them changes it. Either one can end up dead until they change it. We teach how to build self-respect to stop the cycle, which is more important than a skill like punching or kicking. I think that's an outstanding letter. That we need to reach a point in society where the first time a guy hits you is the last time a guy hits you. And I don't know how we get there. Dennis in the Valley. Dennis, go ahead.
Yeah, Jerry, good morning.
Morning.
This is a question to the men that whoop on women. Why don't they call you and tell you or tell us why they think that they have to whoop on women? And if that's the case, why don't they go to somebody that can stand up for themselves and say, all right, I want to get whooped myself. Instead of whooping on the women, why don't you whoop on me so I know how it feels?
Well, I will tell you that I have made it clear to my daughters that if a man ever hits them, the first time will be the last time, and I will deal with any consequences that come with that.
And well, you know, like I say, why don't somebody that whoops on women call and say, why they do this? Why do you do this?
Well, that would be interesting. That is an interesting call. Thanks a lot for your call. One final call on this, and we need to move on. Devin on the road. Go ahead.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
As I was just saying here to, I think it was Jason, when I was younger, I was never physically abusive, 18 to, you know, my late teens. And I was verbally abusive to my ex-wife. I know it. And I didn't get a chance to grow up before I got divorced. But I know that she's in a very similar relationship right now where there's name-calling and yelling, and I've heard it from a reliable source. And I know she's also the type of person which is kind of opposite of what I've heard a lot of, that, you know, submissive women or women who feel they're stuck. But what about egotistical women who are afraid to mention that, you know, I'm in a abusive relationship and I got to get out of it because they don't want to damage their reputation?
Yeah, the stigma. And I think that is still part of it, that somehow they see themselves as failures. I think it was Nolan who pointed out, you know, we have made a lot of progress, but clearly a lot of the elements that have women staying in these relationships are still there. It's 9:49.
The Jerry Bader Show.